Hang on to your tractors. Here's another update. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Did you find a few more muscles than you remember over the weekend? Boy, that gorgeous weather definitely made you want to try to tackle a few projects that you haven't been able to so far this spring. I'm Pam Youngke. Welcome in. It is the 15th day of April, and I'll tell you what, weather-wise, the good news continues, at least for today. Sunshine for the state of Wisconsin, a little bit of a breeze out of the north, about 6 miles an hour. Today, we'll see our temperatures generally between the mid-60s to low 70s. But boy, then things change. Tomorrow, rain in the forecast, and later this week, temperatures that will drop us back into the 50s. We'll take a closer look at weather as the morning unfolds. Also, if you are being approached by solar companies to consider leasing your land to them for renewed energy, slow down, tap the brakes. There are some important questions you need to be asking. We've got the update. Stephanie Hoff visiting with one of our agriculture attorneys on this situation. And keeping the next generation of dairy producers and processors going, that's what Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin's all about. Talking to one person that is both. Ken Hyman joining us this morning for our Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin update. He's not only a dairy producer himself, he's also a dairy plant manager at Nasonville Dairy up in Marshfield. Charity Seebecker going to chat with him.
What do you look for in a lending partner? Someone who supports smart decision-making for your farm or ranch, agribusiness, investment, or community. Someone who values relationships. Someone who, when you face adversity, looks you in the eyes and says, "We are here." Find the lending partner you're looking for at Compere Financial. Visit Compere.com to get started today. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
Keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Coffee is to Costa Rica what milk is to Wisconsin, a very important part of the ag economy and the economy overall. At the Doca Coffee Plantation, Mauricio gave our group a wonderful tour. And Mauricio, just exactly how important is coffee to Costa Rica, the overall economy and agriculture in particular?
Well, coffee is cultivated in our country for more than 200 years, so we can say it was the most important product we had at that time. And thanks for the coffee, our country had a lot of development. All the money we received at that time was really, really important for our economy.
Did coffee come by accident, or did somebody bring it here on purpose?
No, it was brought by a Spanish man in 1790. We had the first coffee beans in our country, but was in 1820 when we had the first coffee exportation.
Now, Costa Rica is a mountainous country. Does that play into developing coffee plants and the coffee industry, the mountains and the different types of climates?
Yes. Thanks to our topography, the different micro-weathers, micro-climates we have in our country, coffee, it's a really good crop. And the different ecosystems as well we have that it brings a lot of benefits to the coffee we grow here in Costa Rica.
Take us through the production process. What do we start with? Like in corn, we start with a seed, and that'll grow in one season. Mm-hmm. But when you start with a seed, how long does it take before you're producing, and how long will those coffee plants produce coffee?
After we make a really good seed selection from our best coffee plants, from the moment we plant the seed, we gotta wait like 3 years. 3 years to get the first crop. As I mentioned before, some varieties are producing coffee in less time, but normally we gotta wait 3 years to start harvesting.
How long will a coffee plant harvest a productive crop of coffee?
With a good maintenance, a plant can produce its coffee for 20, 25 years. After that, well, we consider the production decreases and it is necessary to replace them.
So what are the practices, the agronomic horticulture practices during the course of the year as far as taking care of those plants for trimming the plants or insect control or weed control?
Yes. Well, the trimming is very important. That's the way we renew the material of the coffee plants. We have to do that every 4, every 5 years. And of course, coffee needs some minerals from the soil. If we cannot get them from soil, we have to add them artificially to the soil again. But yes, basically it is the pest control, fertilization, and trimming process. Here in the highlands, it is not necessary to irrigate the plants, but some coffee plantation in the lowlands, they need it.
And as you look at these plants, how many pickings a year? Do you have a continuous picking season? How does the season work?
Well, you know, we have one harvest per year. Our coffee plantation, it's been here for more than 100 years, and we have been producing coffee for this time, so for more than 100 years. As I told you, with a good maintenance, good coffee practices, the plants can produce good product, good coffee.
Mauricio, our guest at the Doca Coffee Plantation here in Costa Rica. And Mauricio, you mentioned we're in the highlands. We've got volcanoes all over Costa Rica. You mentioned the mineral type soils. How good is the soil naturally for raising coffee plants? And what are they like? Do they like an acidic? Do they like a, you know, kind of a an alkaline type soil? What are they like?
Yes, here, well, due to our soil, we have volcanic soil. We are located in the Central Valley of Costa Rica, surrounded by a central volcanic range line of 4 volcanoes. It's a really good soil for coffee. Coffee likes acidic soil, volcanic soil, and we can feel it in the coffee flavor as well.
As you look at the production of coffee here, what is a good production level? And you know, at home we've got combines to pick corn, pick soybeans. We don't do it by hand. But here it's a different story, right?
Yes, here in Costa Rica, due to our topography, we grow coffee in the highlands where lands are so hilly. It's hard for us to drive tractors or bring machinery to harvest coffee. So that's why all the coffee is hand-picked. And normally in a year, in a good production, in per acre, we can make 50 bags of 100 pounds of coffee. We have here 60 acres. 120 acres.
And in our country, of course, labor is a real challenge on our farms. What about here? Do you have enough labor since it is so hand-picked, hand program?
Yes, absolutely. Every year, it's harder for us to bring people, to have people that want to do this kind of job, and people that do it in a good way. So in our case, most of the people who come here to pick coffee are from Nicaragua. And for these people, we have, free housing, water, electricity, daycare, transportation, so to make them attractive for them. Normally, same family, same people come back here every harvest season.
And in other crops like back home, corn, soybeans, we've got genetically modified. Is there such a thing in the coffee industry?
Absolutely, yes. In Costa Rica, we feel proud because we have an institute, we call it the Coffee Institute. They have agronomists, scientists that develop new varieties of coffee. And in order to produce varieties that produce coffee in less time, varieties that are more resistant to a specific fungus and a specific disease. Well, before I told you, we got to wait 3 years to start picking coffee, but with the new varieties, in some cases, in a year and a half, we can have the first crop.
And coffee is probably the universal drink. Everybody around the world drinks coffee. You talked about Arabica beans, Robusto beans. What's the difference? And as far as a coffee consumer, what should they know about the difference?
Absolutely, yes. Around the world, in Africa, there are more than 100 species, but Arabica and Robusta are the most cultivated. The main difference between Arabica and Robusta is, the production. Robusta produces more, are more resistant to fungus and disease, and the caffeine level. Robusta beans, Robusta coffee has more caffeine, but when we drink coffee, The bitterness we feel depends on how long we roast the beans and how much caffeine beans have. So due to this, Robusta coffee is really, really bitter. Arabica, it's completely opposite. Smaller plants. Plants produce less coffee, but coffee has less caffeine. So we have a smoother cup of coffee, a very rich flavor, and that's the main difference. So we can say Robusta produces quantity, but Arabica produces quality.
And I am not a coffee drinker myself, but I did enjoy the samples here. Light roast, medium roast, dark roast, what does all that do to the bean and the coffee final product?
At the end, all these coffees come from the same bean. The difference is the roasting time. Example, we can roast coffee 15 minutes, 17, 20 minutes. As longer we roast coffee, we get stronger flavor. So, but always from the same coffee beans.
Now, we do have people, and you mentioned it, some of these special coffee machines now aren't just, drip through a filter, but some of these other machines. Which ones work best for some of these newfangled coffee makers?
Well, it depends on how people like coffee. Example, if people like a smooth flavor or not really a strong coffee, we can use a coffee dripping machine with paper filter. But if people are looking for a really strong coffee with more body, my recommendation is a French press. Okay, at the end, we filter the coffee, it's a filtered coffee, but we can get a full body cup of coffee.
And one final question with Mauricio here at Doca Coffee Plantation in Costa Rica. This was set up over 100 years ago. It doesn't look like it's changed much as far as technology is concerned. I mean, you've got pulleys and belts and pits. You don't see a lot of modern tech computer. It's not computer run.
No. Yes, well, 100 years ago, when this coffee mill was built, we didn't have such a technology. We didn't have electricity like now. So that's why it runs with water power. It's very simple. The coffee plantation, it borders a river, so we get the water from the river, and that's how everything works here in the coffee mill.
And you don't have any problem running short of water?
No, no problem with the water, no problem with the equipment.
And they make delicious coffee. Mauricio, thank you.
No, thank you for being here today. As I told you to the group, thanks for your visit. We can continue with this activity. We can continue with our coffee industry. And we really, we feel really glad to for your visit today.
A definite visit when you come to Costa Rica, the Doca Coffee Plantation in Costa Rica. I'm Bob Osold.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau helps our organization advocate for agriculture by putting us at the table with the right individuals. I've heard a lot of times that if you're not at the table, you're on the menu when it comes to ag policy. We need people to help us make the right connections, get in front of the right people and policymakers that are affecting decisions that impact agriculture.
WFBF.com.
You should look them up.
A voice for farmers.
A vision for agriculture.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
You've played Furniture Referee for years. Get your feet off the couch was your favorite call. Today, the house is all yours. Replace that old furniture with heirloom quality Portage furniture. Name brands with the kind of comfort that invites you to snuggle into it and claim your very own. And with customizable pieces, there's thousands of options to choose from.
Experience the difference at Portage Furniture, proudly located in historic downtown Portage, and portagefurniture.com.
Your forever furniture.
Have you heard about our Rejuvenation Clinic Body Suite? If not, now is the time to learn more.
A skincare minute with skincare expert Michelle Neeson.
Non-surgical aesthetic body treatments have progressed greatly in the last 10 years. We are proud to offer the best devices on the market that deliver incredible results. M-Sculpt Neo treats unwanted body fat and builds muscle mass. Cool Sculpting Elite reduces stubborn fat bulges and has multiple applicators to treat many areas of the body. M-Sella is a revolutionary electromagnetic chair that strengthens pelvic floor muscles to treat mild to moderate urinary incontinence. Our providers love to analyze your concerns and come up with the best treatment plan for you, oftentimes even using a combination approach so you get the best results.
Let your natural beauty shine through.
To learn if our body suite treatments can help you, call Rejuvenation Clinic of Sauk Prairie.
If your workout includes baling hay and pitching pens, then you'll be comfortable right here. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
I'll break it to you gently. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, is on vacation until Friday, so you've got me to try to rely on as far as weather is concerned. The good news today, not a lot of details that we've got to worry about, really. Sunshine for basically everybody in the state of Wisconsin. Temperatures are going to vary a little bit, probably from the upper 60s to mid-70s for our daytime high today. Feeling winds out of the north, 6, maybe 10 miles per hour if you're closer to the lakeshore. Then tomorrow things start to change. We've got afternoon showers and thunderstorms moving into the state on Tuesday. Daytime highs tomorrow probably going to be in the upper 50s to low 60s at best. And the winds, again, gusting out of the east up to and over 26 miles an hour. Wednesday, more rain in the forecast, and it looks like daytime highs probably only in the mid-50s to low 60s. Thursday, back to mostly cloudy skies, still in the mid-50s, and the winds still noticeable. So that's the information I've got for you as far as weather is concerned on a Monday. The weather was exactly what organizers of the Dane County Farmers Market had hoped for. Saturday was their first day back on the Capitol Square for the 2024 season. And Jamie Bugle, who is the market manager at the Dane County Farmers Market, was thrilled to start celebrating their 52nd year on the square. And as you would expect, they're full of farmer vendors waiting to meet you.
We have the same number of vendors that we did last year, which is around 220. But as you know, we kind of ramp up throughout the year as things come into season. And as a part of those 220, we have 16 new members. And a few of those new products that we'll see include Wisconsin-raised fish. Downtown Madison, Inc. actually was able to do accurate counts last year, and we saw anywhere in the range from 17,000 attendees to 23,000 attendees, and that's for, you know, the entire downtown area around the square. So I know we are one of the biggest things happening on a Saturday, but there's a ton of other stuff going on in downtown Madison on Saturdays as well. So it's kind of a nice ecosystem where we all work together to everyone can have a great time on Saturday morning. Everyone can find something to do.
Jamie Bugle, she is the general manager of the Dane County Farmers Market. Now, if you're a first-time attendee that's thinking about heading to downtown Madison for the Capitol Square Farmers Market, you will want to be aware there are some interesting road construction projects that could be a little challenging, but Jamie's got some suggestions if you're a first-time visitor.
And if you are coming for the first time or are a little bit nervous about navigating downtown Madison, I would say don't worry too much about it. One of the best parts about being on the square is that there's a parking garage on every corner, even more. There's a parking garage one block off the square in every single direction. You'll be able to find a parking garage. And I always recommend coming as early as you can, just because our farmers are producer-only farmers, so they're only bringing as much food that they can grow themselves and transport themselves. So they do sell out, and you really want to get the most diversity of products that you can. So try to get there as early as possible.
Jamie Bugle, she is the general manager of the Dane County Farmers Market. She said there's still a lot of farmer vendors that would like to be a part of the activity around the Capitol Square in Madison. Right now, the current wait list to find a slot around the Capitol Square, only 2 years in length. She said that's quite an improvement. Previously, you were on that wait list for at least 10 years. Jamie Bugle, Dane County Farmers Market, back on the Capitol Square as of this past weekend. Weather-wise, another good day to get out and enjoy things in Wisconsin. Today's sunshine on the way. Temperatures from the mid-60s to low 70s. Tomorrow, though, that's when thunderstorms and rain show back up in the forecast. Tomorrow's daytime highs probably in the mid-50s to low 60s. More rain on the way Wednesday. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, on vacation until Friday. So we'll see what we can do to keep you informed on all of that. Coming up next, if you are a farmer or landowner that's been approached about solar panels on your land, tap the brakes. You've got questions to ask. That's one of the stories that's on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You work hard at your game because for you, it's not just a game. It's your passion. But that plateau feels like an eternity.
Level up with Carbon World Health's state-of-the-art recovery modalities. Restore your body and mind with cryotherapy, red light therapy, vitamin drips, and more. Embrace your athletic journey with Carbon World Health, a hormone health and fitness spa.
Madison West and CarbonWorldHealth.com.
Some jewelry stores try to dazzle you with gigantic showrooms and tons of inventory, but honestly, you don't want to pay for the jewelry store. You want to pay for your custom piece. William Thomas Custom Jewelry is proud of their quaint location and modest reputation for keeping their overhead low and their prices affordable. Allow William Thomas Custom Jewelry to help you create that one-of-a-kind piece.
William Thomas Custom Jewelry, your inspiration, your custom jeweler.
Sometimes it's nice to let the kids have their own space downstairs. It's also pretty awesome to expand that basement into usable living space or entertainment area. Actuate Improvement will transform your basement into a livable area everyone can enjoy.
Actuate Improvement is a full-service design and remodeling company specializing in kitchens, baths, and basements. Let's get the conversation started with a complimentary estimate, consultation, and suggestions. ActuateLLC.com. Design, create, actuate.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road. Plus, IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
Tom from Tom's Auto Center. You know the colors of a stoplight. Red meaning alert, yellow meaning caution, green meaning it's safe to move forward. We use a similar system in our repair report, which you receive after every service. Red meaning it needs urgent attention, yellow meaning we have concerns, green meaning your vehicle is all good.
Tom's Auto Center. You're the getter, fixed, getter done to get you going, guys.
Off Highway 51 in McFarland, a stone's throw from McDonald's.
You bought her something sparkly, glamorous, with a rock that throws a glimmer across the room. You also bought yourself something shiny. It includes a rock with flames that glow across the yard, the wood-powered pizza oven. WPPO offers family-friendly portables to business-savvy models. Wood-powered pizza ovens bringing people together for fun and deliciousness.
Fire good, wife good.
Get fired up with wood-powered pizza ovens at WPPOLLC.com.
Have you been wanting to try non-surgical body sculpting but unsure where to start? We can help.
A skincare minute with skincare expert Michelle Neeson.
M-Sculpt Neo is a game changer in the world of body contouring. With its dual technology of heat and magnetic energy, Neo can reduce fat by 30% and increase muscle mass by 25%. With Neo, you can enjoy simple, comfortable sessions and no downtime. You'll even feel stronger in just a few sessions. One patient recently said, "I can tell in my crunches and golf swing. I wish I had known about this sooner." This was after only two treatments. M-Sculpt Neo is perfect for those looking to kickstart their fitness journey, enhance their athletic performance, or simply feel more confident in their own skin.
Let your natural beauty shine through.
To learn more, visit rejuvenationclinicofsaukprairie.com.
Parts are missing and the instructions are confusing. Assembling your own furniture is frustrating and way unfair. Swap your tears for smiles and shop local at Portage Furniture, a family furniture store where you can snuggle in and test every option. Then get your perfect piece gently delivered, white glove style, and set up for free.
Experience the difference at Portage Furniture, proudly located in historic downtown Portage, and portagefurniture.com.
Your forever furniture.
Your parents moved to a smaller house. They're happy. But how'd you end up with their leftover furniture in your garage? And is that a box of sewing patterns from the 1970s? It's time to call Two Men and a Junk Truck, a division of Two Men and a Truck, to get it hauled away today. Get a free no-obligation estimate. We recycle and repurpose usable stuff. Experience the calm after the clutter. Visit twomenandajunktruck.com.
Keep what you love, ditch what you don't.
And now a break from the Farm Report with Pam Yonke for a sports report.
We were talking Cooper DeJean last time. He had his pro day since we last talked. And my God, he was like flying off the charts. And, you know, Packers got a lot of draft capital, Robbie. I think you did mention the Packers could potentially trade up. Could we see a scenario where the Packers trade up to get someone like a DeJean? I think you said maybe that he'd even be there for the Packers, but that was before his pro day. Or would we see a scenario where, like, the Packers stay pat or they trade down?
That's the crazy fun part of what's coming up here for Brian Gutekunst, right? He has more draft picks than anybody out there. He's got five of the first 91. He's got 11 overall. And Evo, I'll be honest with you, they don't have 11 openings right now on that roster. The last couple of years they did. I mean, he took 23 players total, Evo, in the last two drafts, and he needed them. They were rebuilding the roster. He knew they had all this dead cap money coming with players like Aaron Rodgers, and they had to get rid of his $40.5 million last year. They're in far better cap situation this draft, Evo, and he's restocked the roster because his 2022 and his 2023 drafts were both outstanding, and most of those guys are around. And let's be honest, Evo, when it comes to NFL terms, they're cheap labor. You don't pay draft picks much. You pay guys on their second contract. So the Packers are really in the catbird seat here, Evo, with whatever it is they want to do. And I'll tell you right now, there's three major needs on the roster. There's an offensive lineman. They've got to add depth, Evo. You know, they cut Bakhtiari. They lost Runyon in free agency. They lost Yash Dyson in free agency. They're okay, Evo. They're pretty good, 5-6 deep. They need three more probably coming out of this draft, three guys that are going to make the roster. They need inside linebackers because in this move, Evo, from a 3-4 to a 4-3, their outside linebackers are now defensive ends. They need guys to play with Quay Walker and Isaiah McDuffie. And they need help in the back, Evo, whether that's a corner or a safety, probably both at some point in time. Can you count on Eric Stokes? That's a tricky question right now. Is Carrington Valentine a guy you want to play 800-900 snaps? Probably not. So you got to get yourself a second corner along the way. And they're in the middle of redesigning or reshaping that safety group. So they're gonna need a rookie in all likelihood, Evo, that comes in and plays. Now, DeJean's got a lot of versatility. He's a guy that's really interesting. Could he be there, Evo, when they pick at 25? It's probably right on the cusp. He's probably between 20 and 28 somewhere, just depending on how teams, you know, who the specific team is and how exactly it is they view him. Green Bay could certainly just hold pat at 25, Evo, but if they get some pretty good intel that he's going to be gone at 20, gone at 22, they've obviously got the firepower, Evo, to jump up and get whoever it is that they want at that spot. I mean, Evo, they've got picks 25, 41, and 58 in round two, and then 88 and 91 in round three. I mean, they are loaded with draft capital, and Gutekunst can move all over the board, whether that's up or down. Now, the point I made earlier, Evo, is they don't have room for 11 guys right now on this roster. There's just not that many needs on this football team. I would love them personally to go quality over quantity, excuse me, and jump up and get a guy at 15 that they're in love with, get a guy at 17, even get a guy at 12 or something that they're in love with. And Evo, we know how this league works, right? It's your superstars that get you over the hump. You win Super Bowls with absolute rock stars on the roster. Usually it's not depth. Usually my top 10 players need to be better than your top 10 players to go ahead and win Super Bowls. And I think Green Bay is really deep in a lot of spots right now, Evo, but I'm not sure they have quite enough guys that totally tilt the field. And if they could jump up and get one of those guys in this draft, Evo, that turns into one of those difference-making guys, whether that's a Pro Bowl inside linebacker, whether that's a Pro Bowl left tackle, you know, whether that's a Pro Bowl corner or safety, Evo, something like that, and Gutekunst jumps up and grabs that player at 15 by giving up picks, let's say 25 and 41 or even 25 and 58, he's not going to have a lot of picks the rest of this draft, Evo, to go ahead and do what he wants to do. So it's going to be really wild.
Now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Spreading farm information and occasionally manure. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
That is definitely a farm task that many folks can get done today. Sunshine on the way will stay dry. Winds, that's something you'll have to notice out of the east, northeast, gusting anywhere from 5 to about 11 miles an hour. That is today. Then tomorrow, everything starts to change. We've got more clouds rolling in. By the afternoon into the evening hours, we're going to start to see rain, thunderstorms, and a little stronger wind. Tomorrow's daytime highs expected to be in the upper 50s to low 60s. Winds tomorrow out of the east-southeast, gusting up to 24 miles an hour. And again, like I said, precipitation on the way. I'm Pam Yonke. Really glad you're along with us on a Monday morning, the 15th day of April, tax day. On this day, back in 1876, the first Northern Wisconsin telegraph line was finished. It was completed near Ashland, Wisconsin. And believe it or not, one of the first messages that was delivered on that telegraph conveyed General Custer's defeat. First telegraph line completed in Northern Wisconsin on this day back in 1876. Let's see. On this day in 1994, the World Trade Organization is founded. It's been criticized for ignoring and escalating the negative social and environmental side effects of globalization, but it was designed to bring everybody together when it started back in 1994, the World Trade Organization founded. Happy birthday to actor-comedian Seth Rogen. He is 42 years young. Actress Emma Thompson, 65. And Emma Watson, another actress, 34 years young. And now you know. It's probably what you don't know that could be the biggest liability of entering into a contract with companies that are out there looking for landowners that want to participate in large solar projects. Farmers, you've seen the letters, you've had them pounded on your front door, but one of the big challenges is, what do you need to know before you enter into those solar farm agreements? The money sounds so good, but what else do you need to know? Stephanie Hoff has more.
Bill Omakin joins us in studio. He's a professor of law at the UW-Madison Division of Extension. He says it's important for farmers to think carefully before signing solar agreements. Bill comes at this with a cautionary lens because these are decades-long contracts, and he outlines what to watch for before putting ink to paper.
I always get a little nervous when you have new types of developers coming out and dangling a lot of money in front of people, and people haven't really had much of an opportunity to think about what are the long-term implications, much less the short-term implications. So in the case of solar, we're talking about a 20-year contract, typically, to lease land. And you're being offered somewhere between $500 to $1,200 per acre per year for that contract. And for some farmers, that's going to be very attractive, particularly depending on where we are in the farm economy. The challenge is that, again, this is a 20-year contract, and especially if you're a producer looking to transition to the next generation, does the next generation want to tie up 40 acres in a solar array? But in the short term, have you really thought about how you'd use those 40 acres and whether or not you're going to change that use over time? Once you've leased it, you no longer really have control over it.
When you are now sharing your property with a developer, for example, are you losing out on some of your property rights?
Well, I think the largest potential implication is use value taxation. That's generally been very beneficial to farmers across the state of Wisconsin. And it is not clear whether a solar array on top of ag land still qualifies that ag land for use value. Some assessors are saying yes. Some assessors are saying no. When I've talked to the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, they're not quite certain what their position is. So you do take a risk that suddenly the taxes on that land are going to go up considerably.
So the political landscape is also changing around the category that you'd put renewable energy into.
The support for renewable energy tends to be relatively consistent, but what we've seen, particularly in other states, is once a party replaces the party that was in power, either suddenly they become much more supportive of renewable energy or much less supportive renewable energy. So yeah, you're tying up your land in a 20-year contract, but the support for that type of renewable energy may either increase or decrease over that time period.
What about can you build on your farm when they do construction on there? Like, do you have to start asking permission?
I'm going to give a really lawyer-like response to that, and that depends. Depends on what's in that contract or that agreement. And that agreement may say that you cannot build a farm building next to the solar array to block the sun. And if that land next to the solar array was the best spot on your farm for a farm building, realize you've contracted that away. And if you attempt to do that, that's a breach of contract, and that developer can bring a lawsuit against you and force you to have that building removed. So there are rights that you give up, and that's why I say read the contracts carefully. Consult with knowledgeable legal counsel at the time that you're looking to contract.
And again, these are things that you don't just have to think about, am I going to want this in the next year? It's things you're going to say, do I want this over the next 20 years?
That's right. Think forward. A lot of us are not really conditioned to think forward. We tend to live in the moment. And especially if we have monetary needs that are pretty immediate, but you do need to think forward 20 years.
Past that, can you require that the developer decommission that after the contract is up so you can continue doing whatever else you want with the land?
Stephanie, that's a great question. And there's kind of two responses to that. In one case, the developer will say, well, when this 20-year agreement has expired or whatever the term is, that you can have ownership of the solar array. And the farmer might think, well, that's a great deal. I'll be producing all this energy. But solar arrays degrade over time and they get much less efficient. So but at the end of the 20 years, you may not actually be producing a lot of energy. The other side of it is I highly recommend that there be a bond provision in that agreement. So you require a bond to be taken out by the developer so that there is money available to remove that solar array at the end of the 20 years if you as the farmer decide it should be removed.
We had been approaching this from a cautionary lens, but have there been success stories?
Yeah, there are a number of producers who've contracted in the state of Wisconsin and have been very happy so far with their agreements with the producers, whether it's for solar, whether it's for wind energy. And so, yeah, there's definitely a positive side. It's another income stream for the producer. What we just try to do is like go into the contract with your eyes open.
Professor of Law Bill Omakin, along with us from the Division of Extension. He says there is a fact sheet on the Extension website under the Local Government tab. It has a lot of information on a solar contract agreement. He reminds us that Extension cannot be a farmer's attorney, and he recommends consulting with legal counsel before getting into any type of long-term agreement. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Really critical information there if you're one of the folks that's being approached by these energy companies looking to lease your land for solar. Like I said, the money sounds so good, protecting your next generation. But like Bill Omakin said, be careful. Well, the markets this morning, they're being careful now. Last week, Friday, we saw the Dow Jones Industrial Average hit the skids. This morning, the shoe is on the other foot. Dow Jones Industrial Average up, but our commodities are lower. Currently, Dow Jones Industrial Average is up about 155 points, while December corn is down 2 at 469. November soybeans currently down 4 at 1172. July new crop wheat's down 7 this morning at 563 a bushel. Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese gained 2.5 cents to 157 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese, that was up 2.5 at 153 and a half. Double A butter gained 2.75 cents to 292 a pound. Our May Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, that's up 11 cents this morning at 16.50. The June Class 3 milk up 16 cents right now. Make that 18 cents at 16.95 a hundredweight. Reputation. It's something that can take years, decades, your lifetime to build, but go away in a very short period of time. America's Dairyland, that's Wisconsin's reputation out there on your license plates. And our dairy industry, recognized around the world for its reputation of great quality product. Making sure we're protecting that reputation while we build on it, that's the goal of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. But it takes engagement by the dairy farmers they rely on and the cheesemakers and dairy processors that turn the milk into art. Coming up next, Charity Seebecker introduces us to one of those cheesemakers. His name, Ken Hyman from Nasonville Dairy in Marshfield. He's our special guest on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Some spaces become a catch-all for everything you want to keep in storage. Make use of that wasted space now.
What about the basement?
Rec rooms, an office, extra bedrooms for growing teenagers are all popular uses for an upgraded basement. Actuate Improvement is a full-service design and remodeling company specializing in kitchens, baths, and basements. Let's get the conversation started with a complimentary estimate, consultation, and suggestions. ActuateLLC.com. Design, create, actuate.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
This is Matt
and Pete Gunderson.
We recently celebrated the life of Dan, a devoted motorcyclist who enjoyed the freedom of the road with other bikers. His celebration involved a final ride in the saddlebag of his best friend, just the way he wanted. Allow us to personalize every detail of a life well lived.
Let our family help your family.
Visit GundersonFH.com. Over 100 years as your hometown life celebration center.
If you've ever driven a tractor, you're her friend. This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
I already noticed it yesterday. A lot more activity on our rural roads with a lot of big farm equipment. Don't forget, folks, you've got to exercise good judgment and caution around that stuff. Don't be passing in no passing zones. That is illegal. Don't be passing on the shoulder. That's just dangerous. And keep your eyes out for those slow-moving vehicle signs. I especially encourage you parents to have a conversation with those young people in your family that may be driving around this farm equipment for the very first time. Just remember how quickly you can close distance on a very large piece of farm equipment that can't go much more than 35 miles an hour. They're just trying to get their job done. I know it gets a little frustrating, but please exercise good judgment. Sunshine on the way today. That's the good news. Our temperatures anywhere from the mid-60s on the lakeshore to about 73 closer towards Madison. Then tomorrow, thunderstorms and rain in the forecast. It's also going to be windy on Tuesday. Daytime highs, not much better than the upper 50s to low 60s. And those winds tomorrow out of the east, gusting up to 26 miles an hour. Well, as we wrap it up on a Monday and remind you, tomorrow, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, will be joining us. Charity Seebecker steps in. We've been talking about reputation. It takes a long, long time to build your reputation, but boy, it can go away pretty quickly. Wisconsin continues to build its reputation as the world's leader in specialty cheese production, but that takes a lot of investment. Investment in science to continue to come up with new varieties that consumers want. New science on how we're making those varieties to reflect dietary concern. Ken Hyman is a dairy producer and a cheesemaker in central Wisconsin. Charity Seebecker catches up with him to find out more about the reputation that Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin continues to promote and protect.
To help elevate Wisconsin's dairy industry, Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin has not only upheld our state's reputation for our superior cheese, but they've also amplified our presence across the world. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report, and Ken Hyman, owner of Nasonville Dairy in Marshfield, joins us for this month's check-in with Dairy Checkoff. And he says by using your checkoff dollars, they're not just selling cheese. They're selling a legacy of quality and tradition to help Wisconsin dairy farmers succeed.
We see the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin representing our farmers here in Wisconsin. So what we do is we create a segment whereby the farmer puts a little money into the advertising, and we take that money and we add that to the processor's money, the distributor's money, and then we move that all the way to the store to get right to the consumer, so that we've moved a guarantee of a line from Wisconsin all the way through the processing plant, all the way through the distributors, all the way to the store. So the farm is all represented there. And Wisconsin's done a good job of creating the awareness of the quality of the cheese in Wisconsin and how well we do in competition, whether it's world competition, U.S. competition, ACS, you know, state fairs, whichever. They made that absolutely crystal clear to, you know, how well we're doing. And, you know, we think about how much growth there's been. We're up to 36.6 pounds per capita on cheese per person in the U.S. And it wasn't that many years ago. It was long, long below 20. We thought if we ever get to 20, we're at 36. Is there room to grow? Absolutely. Stop and think about countries like France that are at 57.9. Germany and a lot of those guys at 53, Greece 51. There's 11 countries that are higher than we are, as good as we are at it. And we're going to see more and more of this continue to come to the table as the consumption for Wisconsin product, which as far as milk goes, 90-some percent of it's going into cheese. We've got to do a good job with cheese, and I think we do a good job with it.
As a dairy producer and processor yourself, what do you think makes Wisconsin the state of cheese in America's dairy land that we know it to be?
It begins with the land. It begins with the waters that are here. It begins with the personality of the people. What I'm getting at is the idea that if you were going to build a car, you could build it anywhere in the country. I'm going to get tires from Korea. I'm going to get radio from Japan. And you just assemble all this. Everything begins with the land here. The land and the waters of the state of Wisconsin are what keep us in tone with everything that's going on. Because, I mean, we're now producing 25% of all the nation's cheese. We have 1,200 licensed cheesemakers. We have another 630 different kinds of cheese that we make in this state. We've learned all of this. We've understood it. And the more we see throughout the world, the more we try to bring back home, because the consumer sees this, and it's important that we get there. But we've always taken all of that on. The Center for Dairy Research, all of the things that go on there, all the things that they bring to the table, all of our plants have learned how to adjust to these different items, how to make them. And so we have become the state of cheese.
We know we are America's Dairyland because we know what we do is good. We like our cheese. That's who we are. But is our Wisconsin cheese being stocked in grocery stores across the country? How are those consumers knowing, yep, that's that Wisconsin cheese that I want?
We've done such a good job with promoting the quality of our product and how it's consumed. The bigger stores, a lot of the big stores, have gotten into using their own label. And sometimes they want to say it's Wisconsin cheese, but what they want is they want quality. And they will always come here looking for quality. And so what that really does for us, it's kind of a double-edged sword. In a lot of cases, you'll see the Wisconsin banner on the cheese, and that's great. You know, we can brag that proudly Wisconsin cheese. I mean, we love to do it. And they will let them have that even on their own label as long as they can document what plant it came from, that it was Wisconsin milk, that it was all of this, then you can do that. There's 99% of the stores out there have got cheese that's from Wisconsin or some portion thereof.
Like you said, the cheese production, knowing that probably Wisconsin cheese batch, that's really highlighting who we are. They're getting that connection with us and knowing that's a quality product from Wisconsin's dairy farmers. So you personally, what are you most excited about for the next 5 years for Wisconsin dairy?
I guess the biggest things to me is what I see coming down the pipeline. I see new product because we're seeing products all over the world. And as they keep coming here, as we have people who travel the world, they bring a lot of these taste things home, and this is what they're looking for. And they will pay to get that done. So what we have is we have all new products. You know, we're looking for new consumers, both here and worldwide, because we can export and we can be competitive in the world, and we have to continue to see what we're going to do. But it's all about creating demand. And honestly, Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin has done a really good job in allowing some of the smaller plants to be able to become a specialty, be able to become a lot of these niche markets that are so important to keep all of our dairy farmers alive here in Wisconsin.
That was Ken Hyman, owner of Nasonville Dairy in Marshfield, joining us for this month's Check-In with Dairy Checkoff. As Wisconsin continues to cement its status as the state of cheese and America's dairyland, Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin remains committed to supporting our farmers.